This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
We're back with another edition of the M Squared TechCast. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to talk small business. We're going to talk about podcasts. Co-working spaces, all sorts of stuff. The connected car, and a little bit about water resources, Flint, and all the flooding down in Louisiana. We're going to be talking about that at the end of the show too. So it's a well-rounded program today.
Yeah, we try to do that.
Yes.
And we have a well-rounded guest here, Michael Rogers. I had to have a segue into that, Michael. So, but he's with
us. I fell off that segue.
Right. Small Business Association of Michigan, one of my new partners. So we're still working out all the fine print, but hopefully once we get past summer here, we can get all that done. But one of the things that Michael does is he has a really great podcast series of his own that I pick up and put into my Wednesday podcast newsletter. Let's talk a little bit about what you're doing with that, Michael.
Well, sure. Mike and Matt, really appreciate the chance to be on the show with you. Here at the Small Business Association of Michigan, we're always looking for new ways to communicate electronically with our 25,000 or so members all across the state. We do a bunch of different things. One of them, the most recent one, is Facebook Live videos. In fact, we've got one scheduled for 2 o'clock on Monday, talking with a guy named Greg Coyne about sales tips. And we've done half a dozen. They've been really popular. It's a way for us to reach out using that social media platform and using video to talk to our members. So that's kind of what we do in the video realm. But you know, talking specifically about the podcast, we do I do a bunch of shows for the Michigan Business Network and spin off some of those into our own SBAM podcasts. One of them is called Entrepreneurial Insights, and that's where I try to go through the previous week and you know grab about 10 or 15 minutes of really solid business advice that an entrepreneur can use and help him or her take it back into the business operation, operate more profitably, more efficiently. The other podcast is what we call SBAM Shorts. It's 60 seconds. Every week we have just a real fast, short burst of information that, again, is designed for a small business to take and put into immediate operation in their small business. So that's a couple of things we do, and like I said, we're delighted to cooperate with you, Mike, and help reach the tech audience across the state and share information on how to be a better small business owner.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about SBAM itself. Let's just assume that this might be the first time many in my tech audience have ever heard about it. So talk a little bit about what you guys do there.
You bet. Well, the Small Business Association of Michigan, like I said, we have 25,000 members across the state, and they're all small businesses who come together with us and through us to do a bunch of different things. Of course, as an entrepreneur knows, oftentimes you feel kind of isolated. You wonder, you know, how can I operate in this environment? I have so many competitors. I have so many big businesses I'm trying to operate against. I have to face up against regulations and governmental legislation. What you can do is work together with all of your peers through SBAM to make things happen that you couldn't do on your own. You know, we offer, you know, from an economic standpoint, access to lots of products and services and member discounts. But, you know, a lot of associations and organizations offer that. I think what really sets us apart is that we're founded by small business owners. We're operated by small business owners. All the members of our board of directors are small businesses. Everything we do from the minute we wake up in the morning to the time we go to bed late at night is designed to help small businesses be profitable and successful.
So how many members do you have? What kind of membership base are we talking about here?
Well, we've got 25,000 members located in every single county of the state and located across all the different types of business sectors, every type of small business you can think of. I think we lean a little bit in terms of our products and services toward helping small businesses that have employees although certainly we've got a lot of sole proprietors that are members as well. But we really try to focus hard on what we call our owner-to-owner program, where you can become part of the organization and get into programs like our leadership council, our board of directors, our various committees, and have a chance for mentoring, for making contacts with fellow small business owners that, again, it's harder to do on your own, and we kind of offer a venue for doing that.
And you offer some great events. I was at your annual meeting in June, I believe it was. Great speakers, a great time, good networking. And in the end, I guess, with business, networking is a real key thing, right?
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, you're always looking for really valuable events to be a part of, where you can meet with your fellow entrepreneurs and really learn something and take back and put into operation in your own small business. We got some events coming up September 22nd. The Flint Matchmaking Summit. We're going to partner with the Flint and Genesee Chambers of Commerce along with Pure Michigan Business Connect and have an opportunity for small businesses. They've got something to sell to big businesses. We're bringing them all together in matchmaking. And the ones we've done in the past have been really successful. And, you know, we're really hopeful that events like this, along with our webinars and our Engage events where we take SBAM staff and leaders out to local areas across the state, again, it's just a way for owners to connect to other owners and, you know, really have them a chance to learn something, to meet people who otherwise they wouldn't meet on their own.
All right. What kind of staff do you have there? What are some of the roles that the employees of SBAM play?
Well, here at SBAM, we've got 22 employees. I'm the vice president of communications, so I'm in charge of all the non-marketing communications that help our small business owners stay on top of not only what's going on at SBAM, but also what's going on in the small business community, in the legislative area, business advice, all that kind of stuff. We've got also Tony Stamos, our vice president of government relations. He and his staff working especially hard this summer on working with our PAC to endorse candidates coming up for the November election. Rob Fowler is our president and CEO. And a lot of your listeners may have heard of Rob. He's been around a long time, very well-known across the small business community. And he's really the face of our organization, appears a lot in the media. And, you know, again, we've got, Lori Berman, our vice president for membership and development. She's our point person for really helping small businesses find out what they can get out of the organization with their membership dollars. So we've got a lot of people here at the organization. Many of us, such as myself, are either current or former small business owners. So we try to feel like we've really got a sense of what small businesses need and empathy for the problems that they're facing out there across the state.
Certainly a lot of those issues out there. But now, one of the things that used to be that a lot of folks signed up for SBAM for the health insurance, but now since we have Obamacare, I guess that would be less of a draw. So what is it? What services do you see your members using the most of? Is that grammar right? I'm not sure.
use the most?
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
Mike, you're absolutely right. Obamacare brought a lot of changes to the small business insurance market. But in fact, we still have a lot of our members who come to SBAM first because they want to participate in the Blue Cross, the Blue Shield small business insurance program. But we bring a lot of value added to that. And when you're part of SBAM, when you join for insurance, then we have an opportunity to tell you about the life insurance program, about workers' compensation, about the unified billing. Lots of good reasons if you need health insurance to become part of the Blue Cross program that we offer through SBAM. And then again, you know, when you're part of SBAM, you're supporting the entire small business community. So you're going to need insurance anyway to attract the great employees that you need. And we think there's a lot of value added in getting that insurance through SBAM.
Do you have any idea what the sweet spot for members are, size of the business, type of business, that sort of thing? Where would you say most of your members are on that spectrum?
You know, we found that most of our members are coming in, say 20 and fewer employees, and they seem to be attracted to the kinds of programs that we have for them that that give them assistance in legal issues and HR problems they're addressing, in accounting, tax issues. Not to say that you don't have those kinds of challenges if you're a sole proprietor, but those kinds of challenges and complications go up the more employees you have. So as we go through our members, we find that, like I said, the sweet spot seems to be, you know, 10 to 20 or 30 employees, and not to say we have some members with 400 and 500 employees, but you tend to get up in that range, and you have, you know, more businesses that have their own dedicated staff to handling the, you know, HR and legal issues. So if you don't have that kind of ability, we're here to help you, and those are the kinds of services.
We've certainly heard a lot in recent years about diversifying Michigan's economy. In fact, we've been hearing about that for about 50 years now, I think. So what are the top industries represented? Is it mostly manufacturing or services, or what? You know, what kind of businesses are your members in business to do?
You know, we really don't have any one industry sector that dominates the entire membership. I guess in general, you could say business services, which is pretty broad, and everything from, you know, accounting to HR. Certainly have manufacturers are very well represented. We have farmers. We have like to say everything from agronomists to zoologists. All kinds, from A to Z, we cover all kinds of small businesses. Just like small business is super diverse across the state, we have a really highly diverse membership as well.
And for my tech audience out there, what can you offer them? What will be an attraction for them to join SBAM?
Well, I think any tech company, because they're small businesses, they can take advantage of the products and services that we offer. The fact that when you're part of SBAM, you are supporting our legislative efforts that work hard to try to remove barriers to your success. But I think, you know, from Mike talking with you and, you know, drawing in you and Matt's expertise in the tech industry, it really sounds like a challenge for the tech industry is reaching out and finding new markets, finding new ways to be profitable, connecting with other kinds of business sectors that might be markets for your tech products or services. And that's one of the things here at SBAM we can do, help put you in touch with fellow entrepreneurs and participate in things like the September 22nd matchmaking summit in Flint, where you can go and present your product and services to big companies and have a chance really to, you know, tap into those markets that otherwise you might not have access to.
Yeah, we've only got a couple of minutes left. Let's hear some more information about that matchmaking session in Flint, please, like location, time, where people can go for more information.
You bet. Well, you can go to more information by going to SBAM's website, sbam.org, and I'm pulling that up here. The date, again, is September 22nd. It goes from 8 to 3, and it will be at the Riverfront Banquet Center up there in Flint. We are partnering with the Flint and Genesee Chambers of Commerce, great organizations, along with Pure Michigan Business Connect. I've been to a couple of these, and I tell you, the entrepreneurial energy we up there when you have great small businesses pitching their products and services to customers is really a great thing to see.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. We've reached the end of this segment. Thank you very much for your time, Michael Rogers, Communications Director for the Small Business Association of Michigan. Once again, that's sbam.org. We'll be right back with our next segment. But for right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And you're listening to M Squared TechCast here at the most interesting day at Podcast Detroit Studios. We're having our parking lot worked on. Met the owner. Interesting fellow. Right, Jessica?
Yep, very interesting.
Very interesting. We'll leave it at that. Hey, and we have on the line Amanda Luan, who's, well, she has many hats. She's a diva. She's a
but never has hat hair.
You know, no, for all no, those hats how does it all has. Work out like that? Yeah. And then she's the co-founder of Bamboo Detroit. And now, I'm not sure, do I call you the co-founder of Bamboo East, or what do I call you?
I'm actually not the managing director of Bamboo East. We have an awesome partner there named Nicole Mangus. But Bamboo's expanding so that we can have a network of collaborative workspace in Metro Detroit. So Bamboo East is our first sort of pilot new space in outside of downtown Detroit.
Okay, so it's like Fillmore East then. Okay, gotcha.
Something like that.
All right. So tell us a little bit about Bamboo, the co-working spaces. How do these things work for people who might be interested?
So as a lot of people might be familiar with, now that we have more technology, we have more ways to work. A lot of folks can work remotely from home. Some can start businesses easier with just a computer. And so Bamboo's collaborative workspaces provide a really affordable access point to have everything you need for professional office, but at a much lower rate since you're sharing the space with other entrepreneurs and creatives. So we've been downtown for a couple of years, and we had the opportunity to test out going into a neighborhood area of Detroit, sort of in between Grosse Pointe and downtown. So we're right now popping up inside of a building called MASH Detroit, and it's right on Mack Avenue. So it's a really, really cool, colorful, artsy space. When you walk in, there's all different kinds of these, like, shared business models. We have pop-up retail in the space. So there's a popcorn shop, and there's an actual clothing and craft store. And then in the back, there's collaborative workspace and tons of events inside, all inside this one big building. So it's a really cool place to check out.
How many folks can you accommodate there?
About 20 to 30 seats. So we'll see what it's like. We're just open now 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and doing a lot of events to just draw people in and kind of see what the demand is over there.
Yeah, and so this is a three-month experiment, is that right?
Yeah, so popping up is a technique. A lot of companies or startups use it. It's a way for us to really engage the community. Since we were asked to come there by a lot of organizations, we thought it could be a cool way to just see what do the people who live nearby want to see from their co-working or shared space. So we're really using it as a way to engage potential customers and listen and get feedback.
And what's the early feedback?
Well, everyone seems to really love the space, but we're only on week number two. So we really don't know just yet. So we'd love to have anyone come on out, check out some of our events. We have a separate website for it at bambooeastside.com.
Bambooeastside.com.
Every Monday, we're doing free co-work days every Monday. So you can just come on in and test out the space and network and meet people for free on Mondays.
U of M just came out with a study last week that showed co-working spaces. You know, they're, for me, like I spent 20 years in the newspaper business where I was in a room filled with pods and people were all over the place, and then went to my own business where I'm by myself sitting in my den, as it were, working. And so co-working kind of fills that gap in between so that you can still get that human interaction and you're not by yourself all the time. That's what the U of M study said. So I guess you're doing a good thing there, right?
Yeah, I think it's most people join because they actually do want to get out of the house. Like, they physically want a different space to work out of. And then I think one of the bigger reasons, though, is you don't want to be alone. You want to meet people and network, and especially if you're an entrepreneur, you can't do it on your own. And at Bamboo, we're filled with tech startups, freelancers, programmers, and there's just almost always someone there that can help you with whatever you're working on.
So what's happening with the mothership downtown? Last I knew, you were talking about expanding that. Now, was that still going ahead?
We're still working on expanding it. We don't have any timeline just yet. Downtown's a booming market, so it's kind of just about finding the right opportunity, and we'll have updates for that soon.
Okay. And then if this pop-up on the east side of Detroit works out well, will you be experimenting with pop-ups elsewhere in the metro area?
Potentially. We're always looking for new cities. I think there's a ton of opportunity in Ann Arbor and in Metro Detroit. People seem to love coming downtown, but they don't always want to come down all the time. So I think as we build out this network, there's a lot of room to travel, where if you're a member, you would have access to all the spaces.
Yeah.
Get to come downtown once in a while, but maybe work somewhere closer to your house, too.
So
I think it's kind of, we're in a unique geographical market because we're kind of really spread out in Detroit and then in the neighborhoods and also in Detroit and Metro Detroit, too.
Yeah. So, Amanda, how did you happen to come in contact with the folks in this building, which I guess is called MASH Detroit, right?
Yeah, they had just opened, and they said they were interested in co-working just through my business partner, Mike. He knew Marlo, who started MASH, and Marlo said he actually got the original idea to do like a very big collaborative space with all these different kinds of stuff happening. Mm-hmm. When he was traveling, I think he said he went to Brussels, and he said in the middle of what he called like a ghetto in Brussels, there is this big warehouse, thousands of square feet of just people working and having events. And he's from the east side of Detroit, and he thought, why aren't we investing in my neighborhood where I grew up in? And so he recently fixed up this space and got it all started and then invited us to just be a piece of it. So we're super pumped. They're a really great team. Their company's called MASH Detroit, like M-A-S-H.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be a mashup of all different kinds of social collisions.
I was hoping it wasn't Mobile Army Surgical Hospital, you know, so...
might run into some copyright trouble there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. A different era. That was before your time. There was a popular show on TV. But anyway, we digress. Well, so go ahead, Matt.
Oh, I was just saying I was looking at the space. I was looking at the building on DailyDetroit.com. They had a nice story about it. Do you know what the building was originally? It looks like three-story, maybe used to be industrial, but apparently the windows have been redone. There's been some nice stonework put on the front of it. I mean, what was the building originally? Do you know?
I'm not actually sure about that. I just know they recently upgraded it and made it good for office space and events. It's kind of the main goal.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's a neat looking building, certainly. And as so many in Detroit are, you fix them up a little bit and, you know, bam, you've got a really nice space. So how many square feet do you have there, roughly?
So we're just using a couple, like, about 2,000 to 3,000 square feet there.
Okay.
But it's a very, very flex space. So at night, we actually move all of our furniture out and they'll do big events at night and on weekends. So it's just great to see a lot more activity in that area. So it'll be really fun.
Let's talk about what you guys offer in the co-working space, other than other people are going to be there. What else do you offer?
Right. So it's shared office space. So you come in, you get coffee, internet, there's a conference room at Bamboo East that you can check out. You can have just a professional meeting setting with TV and AV and everything. Downtown, we have 24/7 access. We don't have that at East just yet. And then we also have mail addresses. So downtown, you can have a mail address too. So you can have a satellite office downtown and like a home base too. So I think everything you need to have an office and a little bit more of those professional perks you can't really have in your home. You can't really invite clients. You can, but you can't really invite clients to come meet with you all the time in your living room or basement. So it's about getting that startup that starts in the basement out into the next.
The next step
having
up.
To pay a larger fee.
Yeah, right. The next step up before you get office space.
Correct. And some of them may never. Actually, we have some teams. Split is growing in our co-working space. They're a shared mobile ride-sharing app, graduate of Techstars Mobility. And, you know, they're now expanding all over the U.S. And so they use co-working spaces as just like a nice satellite office where people can meet up. But I think a lot of their teams work remotely, too. So I think it's all about how giving people flexible options. Now that we have technology, you can work all different kinds of ways.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the pricing, because we've got some people interested, maybe drive a little traffic your way. So what's just to get in the door, and then what other, you know, levels do you have?
So right now, for the pop-up, we are $10 if you want to drop in and use the space for the whole day. And that comes with coffee, internet, room access, printing, everything you might need. And then we have a five-day pass at 45. That's if you were just working a week away from home and just needed a good space. Hmm. And then monthly passes at the pop-up are 99 a month. And, then, and that's a little, that's pretty similar to our downtown price. We offer a $99 access point for people so that they can work and have affordable office space.
Interesting. All right. Now, are you planning on working with any other groups out there? I know you just you have the pop-up East Mash, but I mean, are other groups approaching you saying, gosh, we'd love to have you join us?
Yeah, we get requests all the time, and we always funnel them and look at them. I think right now we're looking at expanding downtown and then other opportunities in Metro Detroit. We're always open to. And definitely for anyone listening, come on out to some of our events. Maybe you don't need space just yet, or you don't know for sure if co-working's for you. There's still a lot of events and fun stuff going on at both of our locations.
All right.
Actually, this week on Wednesday, we have a resource night, so you can meet all the different resource providers, like funders, consultants that work and help startups in Detroit.
Hmm. And where is that going to take place? Address, please, and hours, and website, and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah. So the startup resource night is 6 to 9 p.m. downtown at Bamboo Detroit on Wednesday. And you can find that on our bambooDetroit.com website.
Just for the heck of it, what's that address again? I know I've been there. What's the address?
Downtown is 1442 Brush Street.
Right. Okay. Now, the other question that would press me for downtown is the parking issue. How difficult is the parking down there?
Parking is not that bad. It's typically $5 a day, and you can price out and get a parking spot at any of the lots around us. Just sometimes when there's game night, we always let people know and tell them to come earlier so they don't pay any $10 fees or anything. But really, it's weird that parking for $5 a day seems like a lot, because when you go to Chicago or New York or any other major city, it is way more. It is very affordable to have an office and come downtown.
Yeah, that is.
And especially our people, they aren't downtown all the time. They come down a couple of days a week and work from home a day or two a week or travel. So yeah, it's just, it works out.
I was just in Chicago. It was $50 a day, so.
Yeah, that sounds about right for a downtown. Yeah, that sounds about right for a downtown hotel, too.
Things will change as Detroit grows, but I think we're a little ways away from $50 parking.
Yeah, that would. I mean, that's almost a nice problem to have. You know, there's a price to be paid for being at the center of the universe, as they say. So, you know, and that's one of them. When parking is scarce, you have a vibrant city. Even though Detroit's a lot more vibrant than it was, say, 15 years ago, the urban hassle quotient here remains remarkably low. One last time, we've got under a minute left. Amanda, tell us the website of the organization again.
BambooDetroit.com.
Okay.
And if you're interested in coming to our new space on the east side, it's BambooEastSide.com.
Okay.
We'd love to see you at either space or any event.
Sounds great. That's Amanda Luan, a woman of many titles, but in this case, it's Bamboo East and downtown. This is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch, and you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast. We'll be right back in just a moment with information on a Thai event.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch, and you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to do this. we have a guest in the studio. Her name, and if I get it wrong, correct me right away, Anu Gopalakrishnan.
Krishan. You got it.
All right.
All right.
Global Product Manager Innovation for that little car company known as Ford Motor Company. Well, actually, Ford Motor Credit Company, but also Vice President of Thai Detroit, which used to mean Indus Entrepreneurs, but now it means Talent, Innovation, and something else.
An enterprise.
Yes. Entrepreneurship or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And so she's here to, well, talk about Thai. She's also here to talk about ThaiCon Midwest Conference in late October. And also there is a mobility competition. I'm going to let her give you all the details. Take it away, Anu.
Thank you, Mike. So Thai has been, it's actually based out of Silicon Valley, and it started in 1992. So the Detroit chapter has been vibrant for quite some years now. And we're mainly focused on fostering and enabling entrepreneurship through mentoring, educating, networking, funding, and incubating. So we pretty much are a bridge between the startups versus very experienced executives out there or very experienced organizations. So we kind of blend both of them. So where there is a supply, there is a demand, we are there and we connect both sides of the space. So ThaiCon Midwest is one of our signature events. This year we have a very, very interesting theme, and that of Ignite to Disrupt. With everything going on out there, with all the change going on, with all the Ubers of the world, the Teslas of the world, we have a teen number of companies, startups that have flourished and bloomed over the past 5 years. And being in the innovation space at Ford Motor Credit gives me a little bit of an edge in terms of, you know, packaging this conference to suit connected mobility. And Ignite to Disrupt means meaning igniting your minds to disrupt the technology around you so that you can transform lives and make people's lives healthier and transportation much more easier. So our ThaiCon Midwest is scheduled for October 27th and 28th. At the Henry. It's always been at the Henry, a lovely, sprawling
place. The old Ritz-Carlton.
Yes. And we have the entire place for us for two days where entrepreneurs and innovators from across the globe are going to come, meet, and interact, network, learn a lot, and even, mentor a lot of folks. And we have this time for a contest, we're having a really cool contest. It's with regard to connected transportation. Mm-hmm. And we have partnered with Auto Nebula, who's a business accelerator, and they are focused mainly on connected transport. So we are looking for six out of the many people who are going to be nominated, I guess, are going to register for this contest. We're looking for six finalists who will be judged by chief executives and IT executives, all senior management level from Bosch, IBM, Cisco. They're all going to be there judging these startups. And they're pretty much auto data analytics, onboard diagnostics, M2M, M2I, based solutions, vehicle robotic solutions. We're going to have people from the telematics infotainment area. So we're looking at those industries, and all the startups in those industries are welcome to apply. The last date is, the deadline is October 5th. And they can get into our website, thaiconmidwest.org. To register themselves. Mm-hmm. The final competition will be on October 27th at 3 p.m. at the Henry in front of all these esteemed judges.
So it's a pitch contest, basically?
Yes, going to be pitching for about 7 minutes. Then there is 3 minutes of Q&A and 2 minutes for transition, meaning the executives will probably give them some kind of some trips and ticks and, that kind of things where they could probably work on their business model better. Mm-hmm. So they get direct input from these executives.
Okay. So our entries open at this point? People could go
yes.
and enter right now?
Yes.
And that's ThaiCon Midwest, TIECON Midwest.org, right?
Yes. And outside of the contest, we also have Thai 20, which is one of our elite startup awards, where folks, where we kind of encourage startups to be nominated. And we give them the Thai 20 awards, and pretty much the Thai 20 awards are in the industry areas related to IoT and sensors, fintech, transportation, mobility, health, fitness, manufacturing devices, augmented reality, and artificial intelligence. So I understand that there is a lot going on, but the fact is that the way technology has kind of ballooned up in the past several years in various different fields, we're moving from a connected consumer to that of an empowered consumer. We're giving all kinds of flexibility of travel, of lifestyle to the consumer, and that's where we are going. And so this is going to be a one-stop place where people can come, interact, and share ideas and four-star entrepreneurship.
So what is the prize? What are the people competing for?
For the connected mobility with Auto Nebula, the prize is $50,000 for the winner.
That'll get your attention.
Yeah, got my attention. I think I'll apply, right?
Along with a lot of mentorship sessions with our core charter members. We have about 35 charter members, including Manoj Bhargava, the man behind the Fire Energy drink, who's also our grand keynote speaker.
He made a few bucks off that, right?
Oh, I'm sure. in fact, he is coming with his team, who are all FDA gurus, and he is looking at health startups because we have a connected health segment as well. And he's looking for health startups, non-drug-based companies, so that he could invest. So he's looking for new ideas and new startups because he's got an incubation space right here in Farmington Hills in Michigan, and he is willing to provide that space and provide that investment to the right idea, to the right folks.
So like his is what, vitamin B12 and a few other vitamins and whatnot. I'm sure there's a secret formula like Kentucky Fried Chicken there. But essentially it's non-drug based. It's just natural.
It's more about healthcare mobility.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So we're moving to this connected mobile future. Mm-hmm. As someone who works for – well, you don't work directly for the car company, but you work for the finance subsidiary of the car company.
I used to work with the Ford Motor Company.
Yeah, yes. Okay. So
her and Billy are buds.
All right. Yeah. Well, unfortunately –
we're all one. We're all one.
I was going to say, unfortunately, I'm not related to Jack
Ford.
Roush closely enough. So,
Well, Matt lives in Dearborn too, so yeah. You're just
that's
neighbors
cool.
then.
That's
so.
Where it all began.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about your background then, how you happened to come to work for Ford Motor Company and then Ford Motor Credit.
Well, I actually met up with the connected services director of Ford Motor Company in one of the Thai conferences. And so so when I was talking to him about connected services, about Sync and My Ford Touch, so he said, hey, why don't you just, take a look at this position that's out there. Why don't you speak with the folks and apply for it? Mm-hmm. And so I applied, and of course I went through a series of interviews, and I got into the space that I really, really loved, and that's the connected services infotainment area within Ford Motor Company. And so I was there for about 6 years with a great group of folks because they're all leaders in connected technology, and along with my colleague Scott Burnell, we put together the Ford Developer Program, developer.ford.com. It's the first developer program for any OEM, which was out there and which was announced, and where we invite a lot of app developers to come partner with Ford so that through the in-vehicle system, through voice commands, we'll be able to work with the apps rather than a distraction of the road, etc. So from connected space, I wanted to directly kind of get into the product space, and so this position came up and I interviewed for it, and so the innovation side of things have pretty much changed my perspective about how I create and develop products within the automotive industry. So it's a very nice journey there because a lot of interesting things happening within Ford Motor Company. And with Thai Detroit, it kind of really gives me that edge of using that knowledge in terms of, packaging the conference with the right top topics because we're going to do a lot on fintech. We're doing a lot on artificial intelligence, global connectivity. We're going to be bringing this time. We're going to be connecting people with the state, with the U.S. Consul General based out of Chicago and D.C. We will be getting the Indian ambassador. We will be working with Sam Pitroda is one of our grand keynote speakers. And Sam Pitroda is the father of Indian telecom. So he's going to be there talking about the future state of connected mobility and connected transportation in India. So we have lots of grand keynote speakers. We have Cyrus Mistry, who's been roped in, and he is the chief product head. He's a product head of Google, and he's going to be talking about Google Health as well as connected technology, because I think Google is coming up with something big in Novi.
Yes, we know, but they won't tell us what it is. But
it's all about autonomous vehicles.
Yeah, that part we know. Beyond that, not so much, you know. So.
Well, I still await for the day when I can get in my car and say that I have a lot of emails to go through, so car, you drive me to Cleveland. Or,
yes,
you know,
that's happening 2021. It's all coming.
You think, yeah, that you was really my think next so? Question was when.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, a lot of OEMs have announced 2021 as they're going to come in with an SAE-4 capability of autonomous vehicles, and it's out there. People have been making announcements. So 2021, hopefully we'll see that world shaping
up. Define what the car is going to do in 2021. Can Matt kick back, take a nap in the back seat, and it'll drive him home? Or that seems a little ambitious to me.
It can happen because currently a lot of things are being tested, but it again depends on a mindset change, because I'm not sure if people want to give the vehicle control of your life.
That,
but being in the car industry, I think anything is possible at this time, because there's a lot of testing, there's a lot of things happening in that space, and lots more, especially with drones coming into the picture. A lot of things, interesting things happening in the B2B space as well.
Mm. Well, then we have MCity. They just are adding two new partners. I just got the press release this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then
they're
expanding.
Right.
And then we have Willow Run. That's going to be 300
yes.
acres
yeah,
instead
that's,
of 34.
That's
yes.
That's a 10 times scale MCity. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it's really the connected car. Right here, this is the epicenter in Southeast
yes.
Michigan. So.
Yes, I think this is the nerve center, and I think I'm going to stop saying Silicon Valley and say that Detroit is going to be leading everything in terms of technology and engineering.
You heard that first here, folks. So.
Well, I hope you're right, as someone who pulls for this area and cheers for this area. So we want to thank our guest here. We've come to the conclusion of this segment.
Go
but
ahead.
It's Anu Gopalakrishnan.
Good.
Is that reasonably good?
Great. You
okay.
guys are good.
All right. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Phonetic spelling always
yes.
helps.
That's right. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. And she is with Ford Motor Credit Company and is also involved in planning the Thai conference, Thai Midwest. Once again, tell us that website.
It's www.thaiconmidwest.org.
Okay. We'll see you there in October. All right. For now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast. Coming up, we've got information on water resources and green infrastructure. Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to another fun-filled segment of the M Squared TechCast, proudly part of the PodcastDetroit.com network. Our final segment this afternoon, joining us is Dr. Donald Carpenter, a water expert and a professor at Lawrence Technological University. My employer, where's the bell? We have our shameless plug bell around here somewhere.
Darn it,
oh, we're missing the shameless plug bell. Oh, well,
I'll
ding.
Go ding, 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 okay. Ding. How's that? All right.
So, yes, so I did bring someone in here from my place of work, and Don is an expert on green infrastructure. But first, Don, tell us what green infrastructure is, why it's important.
Yes, Matt, thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate the invitation.
Sure.
So green infrastructure is kind of a play off of the words of gray infrastructure, what you might consider like traditional kind of civil engineering infrastructure, kind of the pipes and the roads and all the things that make society run, right? That's our infrastructure. And so green infrastructure is, okay, what are the natural systems approaches to managing things? And so as we think about stormwater runoff, right, what might be done currently is most municipalities is we capture all the rainfall runoff that we have from our sites in curbs and gutters. We put them into catch basins. We put them into concrete pipes. And we either send them to a wastewater treatment plant, which is the case in combined sewers like Detroit, or we send them to a stormwater pond, which is the case for most of the housing developments that are built over the last couple of decades, or we send them straight to our lakes and streams and rivers, which is the way stormwater was typically handled for much of the 60s, 70s, and 80s before we started managing stormwater. So when we think about green infrastructure, what we're really talking about is using Mother Nature, using natural processes to capture and treat stormwater runoff. That's kind of the simple definition of it. But if you think about a little bit more in depth, the way I like to look at green infrastructure is I like to dumb it down to two things, right? And that is, if the receiving waters, if the lakes, streams, rivers, and oceans do not realize that we've developed the landscape that's adjacent to them, then that's the gold standard of stormwater management. Mm. You know, if we can develop and use natural processes to infiltrate that water, to cleanse and treat it using things like rain gardens and green roofs and bioswales, such that the streams don't realize we've developed anything, that's the gold standard of stormwater management. And the other part of green infrastructure that I think is really, really important that's lost a lot is the social side of it, right? You know, for us to use natural processes to clean up our lake streams and rivers, we have to be aware of how people are going to interact with those things, what's socially acceptable, what's cost efficient and economical. So you got to think about the social side as well, and that's what a lot of people forget is the human element to this concept that we're dealing with.
Well, rather than just having, hard concrete and asphalt parking lots and, you know, rooftops and that kind of thing and just putting that water into pipes when the rain falls and sending it someplace, you know, what are the technologies that are used and sort of where I'm getting at here is what are the barriers to acceptance of these technologies? Is it just cost?
That's a great question. Great question. Interestingly enough, we're actually doing a lot of research on that right now about barriers to entry. So let's start with the barriers, right? So the barriers are things like education. People don't understand a lot of times what we're trying to accomplish. Engineers don't necessarily have the design tools they need to do better stormwater management design, right? And so education is a big barrier we're trying to overcome.
All right.
Another barrier that we're trying to overcome is perception, right? I mean, that goes back to the social side of things. Maintenance, you know, people have gotten used to looking at perfectly manicured green lawns, and anything but a perfectly manicured green lawn is quote-unquote unacceptable. Well, what about natural systems? What about native plants and grasses? What about wildflowers? You know, the things that are making a comeback for sure, but haven't been necessarily socially acceptable for the 80s and the 90s. So maintenance is a barrier. The economics is a barrier. You know, who's going to pay for this stuff? You know, there's a perception that green infrastructure is really, really expensive. It's not. It can actually be very cost-effective and comparable to traditional infrastructure, but the perception is that it's expensive and hard to implement. So those are some of the barriers that we're trying to overcome, trying to get green infrastructure implemented.
Well, I mean, I would think that if you're using native plants and wildflowers, that would be less expensive to maintain as opposed to trying to keep a perfect lawn. I mean, I gave up on that myself a while ago.
I was going to say, you need to drive by Matt's house and you'll see lots of natural stuff there. You know.
Yeah, you'll see a fair amount of clover and a little bit of dandelions. And, you know, you pay $8 for a salad made with that stuff, but we don't want it in our lawn. So.
No, and actually it is cheaper. You know, places like Wayne County, Parks and Rec, they've converted a lot of their areas they used to mow into native prairies and native grow zones. That's great for water quality. It's great for stormwater runoff, but they found it was actually cost savings as well.
Hmm. So tell me a little bit about how this can improve sort of the ability of an area to resist flooding, too. I mean, God knows what we just saw in Louisiana was incredible, unbelievable. But that was, I think, a rain event that no amount of infrastructure could handle. I don't care what it is, right? I mean, do you agree on that?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's the one thing we have to separate out is it's a little bit like your flood insurance policy, you know, that talks about acts of God. If you're going to get 15 inches of rain, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
So, and the same thing with the flooding we've seen here in Detroit, right? So the flood from 2 years ago, that was 6 inches of rain. And so parts of Warren just were not designed to handle 6 inches of rain. It just wasn't designed that way. But more specifically though, the more water we can get into the ground and infiltrate, the better off we're going to be. And so what's happening is a lot of our gray infrastructure is just interconnected. And so the storm sewer and the sanitary sewer is all combined. Mm-hmm. And so when you have a very large rainfall event, it overwhelms not just the storm sewer, it also overwhelms the sanitary sewer. And that's when you start seeing a lot of flooding. And it can also overrun the pumping station. And that's what happens like a lot on the expressways. You know, those expressways are below grade. And they only stay dry because of the pumping stations. And so if you can't pump that water out or you have too much water, then the pumping stations can't keep up and they flood. So the more that we can keep that water on the landscape and then use it for productive purposes like irrigation, like infiltration, that will absolutely help with flooding. One of the things that we're trying to do right now is we're trying to design integrated drainage systems, green infrastructure systems, to basically handle 2 inches of rain. And the idea is that most of our systems, right, most of our pipes are designed for 3 or even 4 inches of rain. So when you get 5 or 6 inches of rain, they get overwhelmed. Well, if I can layer green infrastructure on top of the traditional system and capture and treat 2 inches of rain, now my traditional system won't get overwhelmed anymore. It'll be able to handle those larger events. So one of the things about green infrastructure, what we're really doing right now, is we're using it to augment or help out the traditional infrastructure that's already in place, especially with climate change and more intense rainstorms. We don't have to rip up and spend billions of dollars to redo our entire system. We can very cost-effectively put green infrastructure on top of our existing system to help us prepare for this more volatile future that we're seeing.
All right, Don, one of the focuses of this show is technology entrepreneurship. So I did want to allow you to mention and have you mention your business. You have just gone into business here recently with a partner. Tell us a little bit about that company, if you would, and what you're doing.
Sure. Thank you very much for that. Drummond Carpenter. My business partner is Chad Drummond, and so we just use our last names, Drummond Carpenter. One of the things that's been really great, real interesting for me, and I've been a professor now for over 15 years, and a lot of what I had to do is a lot of applied research, a lot of community engagement, but because as a university faculty member, I didn't have the liability insurance to do a lot of the design work, I was really limited more into the monitoring and the modeling and the community piece, which is really great and exciting, but it leaves a little something on the table, and that something is design and implementation, you know, taking these great ideas that we have from research and putting it in the ground. Hmm. And so what happens a lot, right, university faculty do the research side, but then they don't always do the implementation side. And by starting our company, now I'm actually seeing this thing through. So we're seeing things that we're researching, and we're actually designing, building, and implementing them. And it's also allowed me to interact with and engage a lot of very large Michigan-based companies that I may not be allowed to say on the radio, because I'm not sure they would let me to say who I'm working with. But
go ahead. Who do we tell?
Companies are interested in green infrastructure.
Oh, it's just between us kids here.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, go ahead. Spill.
If you can't tell me the name of the company, tell me what you're doing for them anyway.
Well, what we're doing is we're working with several large Michigan-based corporations to make their facilities include green infrastructure. Mm-hmm. They're very interested in having a greener footprint. And they're not just doing it for marketing. They're doing it because they really believe in protecting the water resources of the Great Lakes state that we live in. And so engaging those companies would be something I couldn't do through Lawrence Tech, but that I can do through Drum & Carpenter.
You know what would be nice, but I don't know how this would fit in because it's really a separate issue, is under all these big cities, whether people will admit it or not, there are lots of flints. I mean, there are lots of really bad pipes that are really old that we can't afford to replace. Is there some way that this can work into remedying that situation?
That's exactly what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing in the city of Detroit. It's exactly what we've been proposing in cities like Flint. Is making those existing systems not be taxed by the large volumes of stormwater runoff that we're talking about. If you have rain gardens and porous pavement and green roofs and bioswales, you're capturing and cleansing and infiltrating that stormwater runoff. And that makes all of our creeks, that makes the Flint River cleaner, that makes the Detroit River cleaner, that makes the environment more, hospitable for people, for the social side of things. So it's all an integrated system, and everything is interwoven with each other. So what we're looking at doing is using Mother Nature to do our part to clean up the water before it hits the streams, right? If the Flint River is cleaner, if the Detroit River is cleaner, then that's kind of better for everything, right? It's better for the recreation. It's better for our drinking water quality. So it absolutely applies to Flint and the other kind of Rust Belt cities. You know, we don't like to use the term Rust Belt anymore, but, you know, what we're really looking at is, okay, let's talk about the green economy. Let's talk about the blue economy. Let's talk about how we can really make a difference in these cities as they reinvent themselves.
All right, Don, give us the web address of your business, if you would, please, and then we'll wrap it up.
Sure. So the web address is www.drummondcarpenter.com, and that's DrummondCarpenter. So just Drummond Carpenter, all one word.
All right. Well, thanks very much to Dr. Donald Carpenter, professor at Lawrence Technological University. I want to thank all of our guests today, Don Carpenter, Michael Rogers from the Small Business Association of Michigan, Amanda Lawan, co-founder of Bamboo Detroit, and Anu Gopalakrishnan, who is global product manager for innovation at Ford Motor Credit Company and vice president of Thai Detroit. Also want to thank our engineer par excellence, Jessica, for another fabulous job. Thank you.
Oh, thank you guys for the entertainment and info.
Okay, and I guess that's going to wrap it up, Mike.
Yeah, pretty much. We'll be back again next week, but then the following week we're going to take Labor Day off because Matt likes to go up to see his outlaws in northern Michigan, and so we don't want to deprive him of seeing his mother-in-law or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, something like that. Hopefully I won't injure myself this time.
Yeah, there you go. So one more week, and then we're going to take a little end-of-summer break. We'll be back in September. Lots of really cool things to announce. We're moving into video, too, and by then I'll have all the details worked out, and I will share that with you.
I bet you will. Okay. But until next week at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast on the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.
This is a previously recorded episode.